Welcome to episode 10 of Cinema Crespo Disso. I can't believe it. 10 episodes, it's here. Does that make it official now that we're in double digits? I have no idea. I am Chris Crespo, your host, movie critic extraordinaire, writer, do other things. I'll fix your house. Just tweet me for deets. Drewster Cogburn is on assignment this week. So sitting in for him at the number two microphone is a good friend, Ed Lovables. Ed, how's it going, buddy?
Absolutely fantastic.
Hi, man. Really appreciate you. really appreciate you sitting in. You know, need a little bit of help. It's always good to have some help.
It's the number two mic. I will not number two Mike, into it, though.
No, appreciate that. Mike is a little, a little pricey. So thank you for co-hosting, co-producing, doing the things that Drewster Cogburn usually does. And special guest for this week, the one and only soul brother, Kevin.
Guns cocked and loaded. Barricaded. Just, come get me.
Just
I'm
there
on
waiting.
Big Bear Mountain. What's going on? It's SBK. You might know me from SBK Live with famous episodes like, hey, what happened to my show? Or... Black Buck got loose in the big chair.
What?
Just sitting there so quietly waiting to explode.
What?
How's it going, buddy?
What's going on, man? I'm doing good. Thanks for having me in the house,
man.
Ed, what's going on?
High five.
You are uncomfortably handsome, dude.
Isn't that nice?
What is going on?
I don't know.
I didn't know you were such a big movie fan.
Me neither.
I mean, this place right here is all about movies. When I want my movie fix, I holler at my man Chris, because Chris loves movies.
I love him.
And he keeps me, he saves me a lot of money. And by money, I mean I don't pay for movies, never, ever will. And when I say saves me money, I mean he keeps me from actually picking up the remote and clicking play on something I downloaded for free.
I'm saving you time.
Saving me clicks, man.
I'm saving you time, man. That's what I'm saving. Time is money.
Because I click with my left hand, and I do everything with my left hand, including The Stranger. Y'all do The Stranger?
The Stranger.
You know what The Stranger is.
You gotta sit on your hand first for a minute or two to make
it
numb.
Oh, that's how y'all do it?
Yeah, you gotta numb
man,
it out first.
I just knock mine in the car door. You know what I'm saying?
Put a glove on, too.
Right. Y'all like salt and pepper?
Push it?
No. That's the technique.
No, I don't.
Explain that. I don't know it.
Or salt shaker? On one hand.
No. Salt shaker?
Yeah.
Pepper shaker.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah,
man. Hey, man.
You gotta mix it up.
I'm sorry.
So I appreciate you guys coming on. We're gonna have a good time. Thanks a lot, Ed. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Kevin.
Yeah.
We're just gonna jump right into the show because we got a lot to talk about.
Hey, and congratulations on 10 episodes. It's a milestone.
Thank you. Yeah, it is.
How's
Thank
it
you.
Feel? How's it feel?
It feels pretty good, man. You know, getting everything under my belt, mm-hmm. getting the experience going.
Don't let them take your show, dog. I fell for that.
Well, the thing is, it's my show, so.
Exactly.
At this point.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah,
that
man.
That was
you
a different
know.
Situation.
They got the drone on you, dog.
They are, the drones are out
You'll
there.
Hear that whistle. That's about it.
That's the last thing you'll hear.
That's the last thing. You won't even be able to gather your thoughts.
These microphones will pick it up, but the show's not live, though, so no one's going to hear it.
It is live.
It's live in our hearts.
I mean, we're doing it right now.
Well, it's live over tape.
When people hear it, we were doing it live. It is live.
At the time. When they hear it in the future.
I can see both of you right now.
Exactly. So, I know what I'm in the present.
So we're live right here.
I'm in the physical.
We're live right here. Present. And it's St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it is.
It sure is.
L'Chaim. What do you say? What do you say? What's the traditional greeting on St. Patrick's Day?
Aaron go bra? Right? Aaron go bra. That's Irish. That's like luck be with you or something like that. Yeah, dude. Aaron go bra. I had a friend growing up who was very, very Irish.
Is anybody Irish? Are you Irish?
Not me, no.
I have an Irish name. Kevin's Irish name.
Irish name.
Yeah. I like potatoes.
On St. Patrick's, they were all Irish.
You have a green shirt on.
I have a green shirt on because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Really?
Yeah.
It is the biggest drinking holiday.
It is all day. I mean, people have been drinking since like 9 a.m.
No one really looks at the fact that St. Patrick's Day is about a miracle that was performed when St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland.
Right.
Like, I don't even see no snake. Like, you would think there would be more snakes. Like, people would walk into bars
with
drunk
like,
with a couple snakes.
With like fake snakes or something.
Get these snakes
some
out
sort of
here.
Snake. Yeah, yeah.
Like, something connected to the holiday. Because, really, though, if it's about two things. Mm-hmm. It's about wearing green mm-hmm. and getting hammered.
Yeah.
completely hammered.
That's it.
And loving the Irish for it, for bringing us this holiday of drinking. And don't forget the, what is it, the corned beef and cabbage.
Okay, here's what I learned.
Corned beef and cabbage is delicious.
Okay. It is delicious. The bangers and mash, your shepherd's pie, your cottage pie, your Guinness, all of that stuff is great. I don't necessarily, because I'm not dumb, I don't necessarily need a holiday for people to tell me what to do. I am a natural wild animal, like a deer or a hog. You know, like, ew, animals don't know the season. I don't set no alarm clocks. I wake up in the morning like, time to wake up, like a wild animal.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that,
what are you saying?
I'm wild all the time. I don't need a day to go get wild.
Okay.
Get wilder. Wear some green and get wild.
So you're saying for many people tell you St. Patrick's Day, but to you, it's just Sunday.
It's just Sunday, man.
All right, I like
And this
that.
Is the day you're supposed to keep holy. It's St. Patrick's Day, which is supposed to be some kind of holy thing.
So it's double holy.
People are doing the most unholy things right now. But they're doing them to holes.
There you go.
There you go.
So it's holy.
Batman style. Batman and Robin style.
They Gangnam style.
Holy rusted Batman. Dennis holy rusted Robin. Metal Batman. Holy right, rusted man. Batman.
What I'm doing rusted. Right now is a classic technique. It's called derailing.
Derailing.
Yeah.
Well, the show's got to get on a rail first.
Let's get on the rail.
It's got to get on first before you even derail it. All right. Well, let's we'll get
I
this
saw
one started.
All of them. Go ahead.
Good. So you have plenty of info. You've seen every movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean movies in general. All right. Well, before we do the box office results and before we do the new movies, we're gonna do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Come on.
Shake it up, Chris.
Oh, man.
So right
now,
there.
For those of you listening, Chris, I mean, we can fake this.
Yeah.
Chris actually has a bag.
I got it.
A Christmas bag.
Yes, it is a Christmas bag.
And it has little pieces of paper. He's holding them up. He's shaking them up.
Describe that bag, Ed. What do you see on that bag?
It says Christmas Blessings.
And you got what?
We got a puppy coming out of a box.
You got a teddy bear getting the gift of a puppy.
Yeah.
How is that not the cutest thing ever?
That's the cutest damn thing ever.
Ed, will you be so kind, please, and reach into the randomizer 9000. That's
and
what we
also,
call the Christmas bag.
Wow. We want to give a reminder to our male listeners to have your testosterone level checked. And then you won't think things are cute because you're a man.
All right, what
balls.
So are you going to check first before you announce?
Yeah, I pulled the movie out.
He's pulled the movie. He's checking to see whether it's still on. Because, you know, Kevin, the way they do it into Netflix, the movies aren't on there forever. They put it on. Sometimes they take it off. So
there may be a couple of duds in there.
There are a couple of duds in there.
Even if this is a dud, you stand by the movies.
Always.
Right. So you can find them some other kind of way.
Exactly.
PirateBay.org.
There you go. Yeah.
BitTorrent. UTorrent.
Are we
not
good?
That hard.
Are we good, Ed?
We are good.
What we got?
Fuck the system.
We've got with Dustin Hoffman, John Voight.
Yeah.
Sylvia Miles.
Midnight Cowboy.
I saw that.
Midnight Cowboy is the only film to ever be X-rated and be nominated for Best Picture. I think it actually won Best Picture as well. That's one where John Voight plays a young cowboy moving into New York City to learn to be a gigolo, because here that's the way you can make some money.
Gigolo.
He hooks up with Dustin Hoffman, who's
a
pimp.
Gigolo,
Rizzo the Rat. He imagines himself to be a pimp.
I can't bring that up.
He's just a dirtbag.
I'm a pimp in my own mind.
And he tries to pimp out John Voight. It's pretty good. Pretty good movie.
I couldn't be a good pimp, man.
Not if John Voight's your John.
How about if young John? Could you pimp out young John Voight?
It's not that. It's in order to be a good pimp, you got to talk the pimp talk.
Yeah.
Okay. And to be good at talking pimp talk.
Well, Rizzo the Rat couldn't talk no pimp
talk.
It's
totally hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
Like, how could you be serious talking to somebody?
Like Rudy Ray Moore style?
Yeah, be like, bitch, look here. You owe me $1,000. This is $999. I'm going to loan you $1 so you can come correct. Man, I would laugh at myself for telling somebody that.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff pimps do.
But I guess after a while, you get tired of talking that way, so it's no longer amusing to you. You get immune to your own.
Then you just start slapping people.
Oh, yeah. We don't want that.
You think they drop the voice at home?
Do they talk like that?
Gotta be ice cold 24/7. It depends on what kind of pimp you are, though. Like, there's two types of pimps. There's the gorilla pimp, and then there's the finesse pimp.
Okay.
The gorilla pimp is, bitch, where my money?
Right.
And the finesse pimp is, we gonna make this money if you believe in me. Now look, how can we make these dreams happen if you keep the money?
You make this happen together.
We have to make it happen together. If you believe.
I gotta say, if I have to work for a pimp, I'd rather work for the finesse pimp. I'd rather work for the finesse pimp.
Yeah, but a gorilla. Yeah, you don't want the gorilla.
Rizzo the Rat, Dustin Hoffman, was not much of a gorilla pimp. I would say he's more of a finesse pimp. Like, we're gonna make this together, buddy. This is the movie where, you know, the famous line, "Hey, I'm walking here," you know.
Yeah, okay.
That's in this movie.
Okay.
John Voight and Dustin Hoffman, their characters are walking across the street. They filmed this in New York City for real.
Okay, now this would be, I've seen this movie a long time. This would be like a new movie for me again, though.
Yeah, because you don't see a movie in 10, 15 years.
Right.
Right? And this movie's from like the late 60s or something.
And your opinions has changed of these actors.
Your taste changed over
the
years. Yeah.
It's pretty, yeah.
And there's a scene in the movie where they're crossing the street and a taxi cab like really did almost run them over. And
for real.
Like, he pulled into the shot, didn't know that they were shooting, and Dustin Hoffman slaps the hood of the car. He's like, "Hey, I'm walking here." He improvised.
And that ended up being the best thing. The most memorable quote.
Enduring moment from the whole movie. Yeah, pretty crazy. So Midnight Cowboy. Good pick, Ed.
I like Dustin Hoffman.
He's good.
What would be your favorite Dustin Hoffman movie, period?
Marathon Man. Yeah, crazy political thriller he did in the 70s where it's like there's crazy, like, there's like a Nazi doctor in hiding and diamonds and
a
torture scene.
You got a Nazi doctor in hiding. You got something going.
It's pretty wild. A wild movie.
This may shock you. My favorite Dustin Hoffman movie.
Uh-huh.
Little Big Man.
Which one's Little Big Man?
I think he won or was nominated for his first Academy Award for that movie.
Which one was that?
It was an old...
That was before Tootsie?
It was a Western.
Yeah.
Way before that. It was a Western. I'm giving you a chance to Google this now.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Little Big Man was a Western in which Dustin Hoffman sort of turned his back on the white man and befriended some Indians.
Like Dancing with Wolves. Okay.
This was maybe where they got this from. Or... what's the other movie? Or kind of like what Avatar turned. He became one of them. He married
Last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, like he married one of them. Something like that. I what you got on that, Ed? You got it right there?
Yeah, it says here he's a 121-year-old man recounting a long and colorful life.
Raised by Indians and fighting with General Custer.
Yes.
Yeah.
This movie was great.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Now, I would tell
you. I've never seen it.
I love this movie, and this movie stuck out to me. I saw it as a kid.
Interesting.
I saw it as a child.
Very interesting.
And I don't know why it stuck out to me. That was my introduction to Dustin Hoffman.
Hmm.
And I think if you see this movie, it's going to be one of these ones where I have, in the time I've known you, I've been able to sneak a couple movies by you.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, how did I not see this?
Right.
I think this is a classic, dude.
Awesome.
This could go in the Netflix pick of the week.
It's from 1970, so that predates all his big movies.
Right.
Because Tootsie was 82, Kramer was 79.
Yes.
It was a couple years after The Graduate. Okay, so this was his follow-up to The Graduate, pretty much. Interesting.
Yes, this is a really good movie.
I have never seen it. I'm adding it to my list. I'm definitely going to check it out.
All right.
Awesome, dude.
He stumped him.
See, I'm good for something.
Yeah.
Wow.
See?
All right, now I'm going to get a beer.
Stumped in the Crespo Dome.
I'm gonna write that one down.
Little Big Man.
All right. So
I think he also, his famous line in that movie is,
yeah,
"Me take 'em squaw, make whoopee."
Really?
Seriously.
Awesome.
Don't quote me on that. That's the only Native American I know.
Your only official. Yeah. Rosetta Stone.
Exactly.
I was taking that Cherokee Rosetta Stone for a while.
That's the only. I know one other. What other Native American quote I know? My teepee.
Yeah.
Man, it's cold out here.
Good job. No, those are Eskimos.
Oh, no, the blankets.
Okay.
Y'all.
It goes on TP, okay.
And we're cold.
All right, so that was Netflix pick of the week, and here we go with the box office review.
Okay, what's up?
Ed, do you have box office mojo right there? That's where we get our numbers from.
Number five.
Number five movie. Here we go.
Identity Thief.
I hope that movie keeps rolling just because I know Carlos Navarro.
And he's got that one scene in there.
I hope the fact that this movie is still making money and still really ranking out, I hope some sort of way that ends up giving him more money.
It's going to increase his exposure. Because a lot of people are seeing the movie. It's made $123 million so far.
Apparently, his scene in the movie sets the tone for what's happening in the movie.
Well, his scene sets off the plot. Because he's the first one to tell Jason Bateman, something's wrong with your credit. Something's wrong with your money. You got to look into that.
And I can give you a little behind the scenes thing.
All right.
The character that he plays... Mm-hmm.
Which is like a gas station attendant. Jason Bateman's character tries to buy gas. His card's declined. Then he finds out that he has to cut up the card.
This is the good thing about him doing, you know, so many years of radio, where he's doing a lot of characters and whipping into things. Mm-hmm. When it came to this, from what I understand, he had a couple of characters that he could draw from that he had actually done on the air.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we kind of take that thing for, you don't think of it like that until you get out of your circle and then you apply your talents to something else and you realize you have all of this.
You realize there's all these other people out there that haven't heard this stuff and haven't heard these voices and these characters.
Just now whipping them out, and you've already had time to secretly, like, you know, just come throughout the years, prepare yourself for something bigger.
So he brought some of his radio experience to that one little role?
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
It's a good.
I think he would agree with that.
He does a good job, and it's a good scene.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a small scene, but, you know, for him, it's pretty awesome.
It's huge.
It's in a scene with Jason Bateman in the first movie to make $100 million in America this year. It's right now the second highest grossing film of 2013.
I think there's a combination of good things going on with why this movie is so popular.
Yeah.
I mean,
Melissa McCarthy. She's huge.
Melissa McCarthy.
And she's also very popular.
A lot of people, you know, she's doing her thing right now.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
And she's popular, mm-hmm. and she's just got a good run. And I think it was a Bateman, somebody that people want to see more of.
People like the Bateman.
They love him. And you don't see him enough.
He's a likable dude.
And he's not in something that sucks.
He's rarely in something that's really bad.
Right.
And then even when he is, I think people just forget about it. You know, like he did that one Jennifer Aniston movie where...
Well, Jennifer Aniston was in it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You know, she's the queen of the average women.
Yeah, she is. That's why average women love her.
Ed like her, though.
Yeah, I like her.
Are you a Jen Aniston fan?
Yeah,
did you see Horrible Bosses?
I did not know.
Dude, if you like Jennifer Aniston, you need to see Horrible Bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. I'm not even going to tell you why.
Yeah, Ed loves Jennifer.
I'm not even going to tell you why. If Aniston. You are a fan of her, you need to see that.
I'm a fan of her Google image search.
No, oh, yeah, that's always
who?
Jennifer Aniston.
I like the what's it called? The Bosses.
Horrible.
Yeah. Horrible Bosses.
I liked it in that.
Yeah.
That Jason Bateman, he's starting to get away with being Jason Bateman every time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been Jason Bateman-y for a while now.
Yeah. Jason Bateman-y.
Bateman-y. He's been pretty Bateman-y, for sure.
I like it.
All right. Well, hey, what's the number four movie?
Number four, Jack the Giant Slayer. $6.2 million this weekend. Total of $54 million.
Whose baby is this?
Jack the Giant Slayer.
You know, it's just a corporate product, man, is what it is.
And what's their angle?
Their angle was to take an old fairy tale that's in the public domain that they don't have to pay any rights for and turn it into a huge $200 million blockbuster
that people will
turn out to see.
Bryan Singer
is a director. All He's right. the guy who did the original two X-Men movies. Usual Suspects was his best film.
Wow. I was going to say something, and you said X-Men. I have to let him slide a little bit.
Okay.
Here's what I say. This is Jack and the Beanstalk, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And last week, or a couple of weeks ago, didn't we just have Hansel and Gretel?
Yes, about a month and a half ago. Yeah.
Hollywood, we're not that stupid.
Yeah. Well, obviously we're not because...
Are these connected? Are these the same? Is this the same house throwing out the Hansel and Gretel and the Jack and the Beanstalk?
No, I don't think they are. And Hansel and Gretel sat on the show for a little while, too.
So what they try to do is, I'm sure it's not a straightforward Jack and the Beanstalk like we know it.
No, it's a mix of Jack and the Beanstalk and Jack the Giant Killer is another separate poem about Jack and the Giants.
Let me ask you a question. In this movie, is there a guy named Jack?
Yes.
All right.
The lead.
Okay. Is there a beanstalk?
The biggest beanstalk you've ever seen.
Okay. All right. Is there a giant?
Many.
All right. Do the words fee-fi-fo-fum get uttered?
There are four giants. One is named Fee, one is named Fi, one is named Fo, and one is named Fum.
Getting that's Jack and the Beanstalk.
Getting Denzel slow cut.
No matter how you slice that.
It is, yeah.
And you said it's another movie. Whatever.
No, it's two. Because
I know it says two
there's
movies.
There's two fairy tales.
There's
the Jack and the Beanstalk and there's Jack the Giant Slayer. And they just smashed the two together and made one story.
Jack and the Beanstalk, Jack and the Giant Slayer. Let me take a wild guess on the Jack and the Giant Slayer.
Yeah.
He kills a giant.
Yeah.
God damn.
He has to get the title somehow.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't don't know why we fall for this, man.
It's a dumb movie, man. It is not good. It is not good.
I couldn't go see both of those movies based off of Don't Try to Fool Me, Man.
Yeah, they're fooling me.
They're
trying to.
No.
But it's not really working because after 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks, Ed? Is that how long it's been out? Maybe three?
Yeah, something like that.
Three. 3 weeks, it's only made $53 million on a $200 million budget.
$53 million.
So that is a bomb. People are not being fooled.
$53 million.
On a $200 million budget.
You know what we could do for Haiti?
You know what we could do with the $200 million to make the movie? Plus the $100 million to market it?
$200 million?
You're looking at the wrong number, dude.
That might be too much money for Haiti.
You are looking at the wrong number. We can give us some 50 million to Haiti and 50 million to, you know,
you don't want the carnival to be too fancy.
You gotta spread the love.
Yeah, and I would probably put in some extra money for warning sirens. Here's the warning. It's gonna happen every year.
It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening now.
Yeah.
Sound the warning.
Does it at least have good special effects?
No, actually the giant effects are pretty bad. It all looks very cartoony and not good.
CGI'd crazy.
Yeah, it just looks like CG.
They try
to make it photoreal.
It's one of those things where, yeah, you kind of gotta, hey, we're watching a giant movie.
Yeah,
here.
You gotta do like even extra bit of suspension of
anyone
disbelief.
That we would know in these movies that is notable.
Ewan McGregor plays like the head of the Royal Guard.
Hold on, Ewan McGregor,
and he's good. Obi-Wan, young Obi-Wan, and he's good.
Trainspotting.
He walks out of the movie fine. The movie stinks, but none of the stink attaches itself to him.
Right.
He's fine. Ian McShane, guy who played Swearengen in Deadwood, he's the king, but he's like, he doesn't do anything.
Okay,
he shows
man,
up
right
reads
now,
a couple
I'm feeling
lines.
Real sorry for these two dudes.
Yeah,
because like, those dudes are awesome.
It has a couple other people that
and
are like,
the guy that played Swearengen, by the way.
Yeah.
I know you didn't watch this season of American Horror Story.
Did not.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I watched. Actually, no. I've seen him. He's the old Santa Claus.
Oh my god.
I've seen like half the season.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. He's pretty wild. He's over the top. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that guy. I like McShane. But in this movie, he doesn't do anything. He puts on an armor and then he reads some lines about being the king, and then that's it. It's not very good. It's not good at all.
Okay.
Number three movie of the weekend.
Number three, I just gave them $9 on the way over here. the Incredible Burt Wonderstone, $10 million. Total gross of $10 million, budget of $30 million.
Opening weekend, $10 million. That's not too hot for a Steve Carell, Jim Carrey comedy. But on a $30 million budget, $30 million budget is not too bad.
Heard a good buzz about this.
It's not bad. I actually heard a good buzz, too, going into it.
I heard a lot of good chatter about it. Eagerly anticipating.
Yeah.
You know, they thought something magical was going to happen.
Oh, hi-yo.
Seriously, don't give me any credit on that, because what's this movie about?
About magic.
Okay, hi-yo. I didn't know.
Jim Carrey.
Sometimes it just works out that
Jim
way.
Carrey is a standout of this film, because he plays the Chris Angel, David Blaine type, like, douchebag, Ed Hardy-wearing street magician, but he's so over the top and so funny. I think he's great. Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Steve Carell's playing an asshole, which is funny. A lot of his movies, a lot of his characters, he's always like the put upon. He's a nice guy.
Now I'm interested.
Yeah, because Burt Wonderstone starts out as like a nice, really nice nerdy guy. But the movie starts really with a montage of how the team got started. And then it's like 10 years later, they're already a big hit on Vegas, on the strip. And Steve Carell's totally like jaded asshole. He's over magic. He hates his partner. Even though their whole show is called like a magical friendship, he hates his partner, Steve Buscemi. It's funny. I was surprised that that's where the movie started, with the lead of the movie, the guy who's the title, the Incredible Burt Wonderstone. It starts with him being an asshole. You know, it's hard to start your movie that way. But you know, obviously by the end he's gonna be a nice guy, because this is a movie. We've all seen movies before.
So haven't seen Jim Carrey in a while.
Yeah. You're not gonna go see Mr. Popper's Penguins? You know.
No.
Right. So
how is this, like, you know? He's kind of wanting to see him for a while.
He's good. He's good. He's the standout. He's my favorite part of the film. I would say he almost makes it worth it to see the movie, just him and his performance, the way he acts and the way he talks to people. It's good, right, Ed? I mean, you saw the movie. You gave him $9.
I gave him $9, man.
Are you a Jim Carrey fan?
I like Jim Carrey ever since In Living Color, man.
Yeah, I like Drew Carey.
Drew Carey's good too.
Drew Carey's good too.
The skinny version.
Very different guys though.
Weird to look at though.
Yeah, the turkey neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Drew, eat something.
Eat something.
I interviewed him once. One of the coolest guys. We had to hang up on him. I couldn't get him off the phone.
I heard that. Yeah. He was like dishing celebrity secrets and stuff.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
What do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm Drew Carey.
I wanted to sit down with the dude and have a beer.
Yeah, me too.
Just want to talk about Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a reference for you.
There you go. So, yeah, Jim Carrey, I mean, I liked him a lot. I thought they could have used him a lot more.
His role is kind of small. It's a smaller role, so it does feel like it could use more Carrey. But I think it's better to want more Carrey as opposed to, we got too damn much of him,
Like you're not looking for a spinoff of that character?
Oh, I don't need a spinoff. His character's show, Kevin, is called Steve Gray, Brain Rapist.
Yeah,
that's the name of his magic show.
On TV?
Yeah,
it is magic.
Yeah, that's his his magic show.
Brain
on TV. Brain Rapist.
Wow.
And then some guy introduces James Gandolfini's in it. He introduces him on stage. He's like, "Are you ready to have your brains raped?" And everyone's like, "Yeah."
Ah, thank you. I need to grab a clip.
It's a little.
That's gonna be my new intro.
Are you ready to have your brains raped?
New intro for what?
For what?
No comment.
No comment.
No comment.
No comment.
We will come back to that.
I'll tell you.
Dome.
In Braille. I'm telling you right now.
Braille works really good on a podcast.
And these ain't just flipping you off either. Most of them.
So when Jim Carrey's show is on, Brain Rapist, on the screen it says hashtag Brain Rapist.
Yeah, it does. It did say that. I saw that. I was wondering what if people started tweeting hashtag Brain Rapist.
Yeah, that's probably happening right now.
There's got to be
people tweeting it.
Hashtag Brain Rapist is trending right now on Twitter somewhere.
Man.
Somewhere it is.
I could say something, but I'm speaking at my own peril.
So the movie was current times, right?
Yes.
And what I don't understand is while Jim Carrey's doing his thing, nobody has a cell phone out recording like on the streets of Vegas.
Yeah, they never show anyone recording with a cell phone. That's true.
In modern times, everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah.
$9, huh?
$9.
Did you get any popcorn?
A medium.
So
whoa. How much is the total on this?
That's another $30 right there.
Wait. What'd you get? The whole deal? Did you go by yourself?
By myself,
All right, so you got a $9 ticket. And how much was your popcorn?
About $7. And then I got a Full Throttle.
A full throttle?
A Monster Energy drink called Full... Looks like a Ed Hardy tag.
Yeah. Like it's a massage parlor?
Flames on it.
What was your birthday? Yeah,
I got a Full Throttle. It's a new club in New York.
This movie sucks. I employ the Full Throttle option.
What are you talking about? Like $15 and just a sugary beverage and buttered popcorn?
Chris,
man.
If there was a button you could push halfway through a movie, it sucks. You already know what you're going to write for the review.
Right.
But you push a button and some chick will come in there and give you a hand job. What?
No, how did he come in through the back? Did he teleport?
Whoa.
He comes in through the back door sometimes.
Didn't know there was one.
There's a back door.
The hand job option.
In the middle of a movie?
Well, the movie sucks. You're done. Okay. How many movies have you been done with an hour into it and there's still another hour left?
Yeah.
You're like, man, I'm just here because I paid my money.
That happens.
So you hit the hand job.
So the movie theaters now come with this hand job button.
You just push the button and the girl comes out, just sits down next to you, just, sorry your experience was so bad. Scratchy, 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 scratchy.
I don't know.
I would have hit it today at Burt Wonderstone.
That sounds... I don't know about that.
That's it, dude.
I don't know. I don't think so. Probably not.
It's only $10.
Probably not. I probably just leave.
That Full Throttle button.
All right, sorry about that.
The full throttle button. That's what that sounds like.
Man, you obviously didn't see Dr. Giggles.
No, I didn't. I didn't see Dr. Giggles.
You're right, because that's the only movie I ever got up and walked out.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I walked out of maybe two movies. One of them was Exit Wounds, and that wasn't even my decision.
I fell asleep.
I was forced to walk out of Exit
Wounds. One of my favorite movies of all times. I went to the theater twice, and I'm talking, dude, the first time when I woke up, I just got up and went, what the hell? And just walked out. The Rock.
What?
I fell asleep on The Rock twice.
Really?
Some of the best.
There's so much action in that
some
movie.
Some of the best sleep I've ever gotten in my life is at the movie theater. I used to go there when I had sleeping problems.
To rest.
Oh, my goodness. So this is, let's go out to the movie. All right. Well, I was thinking about some sort of.
The Rock is a hard one to sleep through, dude.
What about an adult movie theater?
They don't even have those anymore. What is this, the
80s?
No,
I'm not talking about porn.
An adult movie theater.
No, an adult movie theater where you can come in there and do whatever you want to do.
Adult shit. Stuff.
Like, drink.
Well, drink. Or drink, yeah. Well, they have that. They have theaters like the Aloma Cinema Grill. There's plenty of places around. Like, the Draft House is a theater chain where they're all about drinking during movies.
Well, you get all a right. soda, you drink a little down, and you pour your airplane bottle into it.
I guess I'm thinking about something. I'm thinking about something else.
Yeah.
All right, so Ed, real quick, we got a rating system where, like, we tell people when we rate a movie, we either say it's worth a red box, it's worth a movie ticket, a matinee, it's worth the full price. Just wait for HBO. I would say Burt Wonderstone is a red box type movie for sure. Like, you would love it if you saw it on the red box. What would you think?
Man, Redbox is good, right?
It's a $1.20.
$1.20?
Because it's all about monetary value.
It went up 20 cents?
Yeah, it did go
man,
20 cents.
Man,
yeah.
Oh, they've sold out.
Man, it's all my Coinstar.
But you don't have to go
it's all
to
Coinstar.
Theater to see this
Who's
movie.
Who's Coinstar owned by?
Coinstar's owned by Coinstar.
Yeah.
They're their own company.
You keep going back. You keep going
oh,
back.
I keep going. I can find the money. Yeah. Yeah.
George Bush.
George Bush. It's all about
capital.
Yeah. It's all
Bain
about
capital.
There you go.
Halliburton.
The Illuminati.
Yeah.
Right. So you would say it's more. So then, all right, no movie theater. Would you say Redbox it or just wait for it to get on HBO? Or even worse, would you wait for it to go on TBS?
Or stuck on a plane.
On an airplane. That is a good option. We never brought that option up, actually.
Because sometimes that's the only way you would see certain
movies. There are a lot of people who fly a lot. That's how they see certain movies. We're going to add that. Stuck on an airplane. That's another.
I like that.
See?
So would you go with airplane?
Oh, yeah, I'd say HBO, but you know, if you could hit that full throttle button, go check it out in the movie theater.
Alright, well, if you find a movie theater with a full throttle button, check it out there. Number two movie.
Number two is The Call. Weekend gross of $17 million. Total gross of $17 million week one.
On a budget of $13 million.
You said they're making money.
That's that Halle Berry movie with WWE Studios.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, where she's like a 911 operator and there's a killer and
I hear this is good.
Really?
If you like Halle Berry.
I haven't checked the, well, yeah, I mean, Halle Berry is cool. I haven't checked the Rotten Tomato at all or the feedback on it. I'm not in tune at all. I'm not interested at all in this movie.
I hear she reenacts her scene from Monster, but in reverse.
Monster's Ball.
Ball.
Monster's the one with Charlize Theron.
In reverse.
In reverse.
Wait, hold on. It's a mashup.
It's a mashup of the two movies.
It's Monster.
Monster Ball.
This is John
Travolta.
He had a movie with the phone, right?
Did he have a movie with the phone?
He was locked in
the
trunk.
He was on a
phone,
I think.
Phone booth is Colin Farrell.
Yes.
Oh, he's stuck in a phone booth.
Mm-hmm. Same thing, right?
No, this one is where a girl gets kidnapped and she calls 911 and Halle Berry's a phone operator and she's like trying to walk him through it.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're on the phone the whole time.
Who's stuck in the phone booth?
Superman, I don't know.
In this movie? No one.
Right, no, the Colin Farrell
movie. Farrell movie.
Right.
Yeah, Colin Farrell's stuck in the phone booth.
Who's stuck in the elevator?
Who's stuck in an elevator?
That's Timbaland and Flo Rida.
Oh, okay. What?
Are they really?
When?
They have a song. This chick is stuck in my elevator.
I was like trying to think. Why were people stuck in the elevator?
I'm just saying, to make a song, it's got to be a real problem for somebody to make a song. His song is, "This chick is stuck in my elevator."
Okay.
I'm saying, I mean, he's got an elevator in his house, and chicks are getting stuck in it so much, he's compelled to write a song.
Yeah, write a song about
I'm just saying, that's a really crazy problem.
Who wrote the song again?
Problem to have.
That's connected.
Who's this, Flo Rida?
Flo Rida, yeah.
So Flo Rida has an elevator in his house?
Oh, here it is right here.
But it's a crappy one. One that keeps breaking down.
Right. And the chick is stuck in his elevator in his house.
Man.
You've never heard that song?
No.
Elevator.
This chick is stuck in my elevator. I might have heard it and just
awesome.
Pay attention. You know, is it one of those songs?
Nah,
is it popular?
I made it up.
Oh, okay. I didn't see The Call. Anyone see The Call? Anyone?
No? I didn't watch
it. No one saw this movie.
I want to see it though.
Do you?
Yeah, like Halle Berry.
Download it.
Yes.
Number one movie.
Oz the Weekend. The Great and Powerful, $42 million this weekend.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about.
What, Oz the Great and Powerful?
Yeah. Total gross of $145.
Well, here we go. It's here, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Okay.
Also, it made another $136 internationally, so $281 million worldwide. $281 million worldwide.
Hard for me to... Okay. Big fan of Oz.
Yep.
What is the connection to Oz and this movie? The original story and this movie.
This is a prequel based on the public domain works of Frank L. Baum.
On whose authority?
On the public domain authority. It's all the Frank L. Baum stuff.
What Joker?
No one has the rights to that stuff.
All right, but what Joker saw this and said, I'm going to write me a new movie? Whose baby is this?
Someone at Disney. Because it's a Disney film, and it actually made it through two different regime changes at Disney. Okay. Meaning, every time a studio gets a new boss, they wipe the slate of the previous boss's films.
Okay.
Oz stuck around for two new bosses. Yeah, but this movie stuck around because they saw the potential and how much money this thing could make. So this is another thing where it's a product, man. It's corporate product.
And you don't like it.
They created something out of thin air.
It's okay.
They created something out of thin air.
Yeah.
They did. The original person who wrote the story of Oz never wrote a prequel.
No.
They're guessing.
No, he wrote Wizard of Oz, and then he wrote like 13 sequels. Like, he went crazy.
He went forward.
Yeah, Frank L. Baum wrote like 14 different Oz books. There's The Marvelous Land of Oz, and it goes on and on and on, all the stuff that he wrote.
Does anything that guy wrote
in this movie?
Is in this new movie.
I think they take out elements here and there, and they take character names and stuff, but
They pulled this out of their ass.
They did, yeah. It's all made up.
They just made something up.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
They made it up.
It sounds like I could have did.
Yeah, you could have. Oh, yeah. You could make a Oz movie now.
But I could have.
You just can't take anything from the actual Wizard of Oz movie, like the.
Okay, so we see the story that we know of the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
We know that in the end, it's revealed that the wizard was a punk.
Yeah.
All right, he was a weakling.
But in this movie, that's the thing. A lot of people in this movie, the wizard's actually he starts out as an asshole who learns not to be such a big asshole, kind of like Burt Wonderstone. But in the end, he saves everyone, and he's the hero. And that's a big deal.
I don't know.
It's a big deal because every other Oz book, they all have female protagonists. They're all about strong women. But this movie, all the women, like, they can't handle the world, and they're waiting for some great man to come to fulfill a prophecy, who is Oz. So they're getting some flack for that, which is pretty interesting.
So he's a magician, too. Is he a con man?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Well, the problem is Franco.
Franco.
Yeah.
This is his first movie as a big movie, as a leading role, as a leading man.
Fail.
You think so?
Yeah.
I
haven't heard anything good about it.
I like Franco.
I don't know.
He has his own style, his own laconic style, you know, kind of lazy seems a little bit.
No.
You know?
I'm going to tell you what I'm typing into Google right now.
All right.
I am... Hold on. Here it is. Autofill. The
Booty
Wizard
is
of Oz is racist. Now, I can go on and on about how racist this movie is.
Yeah.
But I won't do that.
Okay. Save that for another time.
That's another time and another place.
But you put it out there now. If people want to know, they can go ahead and Google Wizard of Oz is racist.
Yes, it's out there.
It's out there. All the info for you. Can learn about the...
I didn't know about that.
Well, I mean, flying monkeys. Right? Those are bad guys.
Oh, see, man, I wasn't even talking about that.
Oh, man.
That's something different.
There's so many things. There's so many ways you can go. You can find racism in anything if you
try
hard enough.
Even a Spike Lee movie. Some of the words.
Oh, they're loaded with it. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, it's just friendly fire.
Yeah, it is. It's all about perspective.
Term of endearment.
Oz the Great and Powerful. It's not much of a film. I'd say that's a red box, maybe wait for HBO type of deal.
I still would like to see it because
it has some cool things
in
it.
I want to see it for the wrong reason. See, I want to see it because I'm a fan of I'd rather go read the other books.
Yeah. Might as well go to the source.
Yeah.
Or these days, it's all about having books read to you.
That would make a great HBO series, all of these things.
It would. Don't say that out loud. Some executive will hear you.
Oh,
it's too late. They'll jump on that. All right, let's talk about what's coming out this week. First on DVD, there's a whole bunch of movies coming out. This is the time of year where all the movies that come out in theaters in December... they start hitting DVD now. So you got The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
The Hobbit. All right.
Right. Les Miserables. Les Mis comes out on DVD on Tuesday. Zero Dark Thirty comes out on Tuesday.
Wow. Seems like these movies just came out.
Well, a few months ago. Yeah, well, it's already been 3 months.
That's true.
This Is 40, the Judd Apatow comedy with Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd, which is not bad. It's actually, it's a decent movie. And this movie called Rust and Bone, which is a foreign film, and it's supposed to be very, very, very good, about a lady who loses her legs in an accident, and then she has to come back from that, you know, live her life again. But it's supposed to be really, really good movie.
I can't do that kind of stuff, man. It's too hard to watch.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is, but if it's well done, though, you know, it could be worth it. If it's a bad movie, and then it's, you know, heavy subject matter, and it's like, oh, why did I waste my time, you know? What do you got coming out in theaters, Ed?
We got Olympus Has Fallen.
That's the, have you guys seen the trailers for this one, any commercials?
Give me a reminder here.
Terrorists take over the White House, kidnap the president.
Who's the president?
Aaron Eckhart. The guy with the butt chin and the blonde hair.
I thought it was Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman's the secretary, is the House Speaker, who ends up having to be the acting president. Are you thinking of Jamie Foxx?
No.
Because Jamie Foxx is going to be a president in a movie coming out called White House Down.
No, not that one.
Which is very similar.
I don't know about that. Olympus Has Fallen. The way I saw the trailer, Morgan Freeman was the president.
No, he's the House Speaker. What happens is they
but
take
his
over.
Face the biggest on. I'm watching. I'm looking at this.
Yeah. What they do is they take over the White House. Aaron Eckhart, some random terrorist. I don't know who.
Right.
Aaron Eckhart's the president. They got him captured. I assume that they either got the vice president too, or he's dead. So you know they got to go down the line, and whoever is the third after vice president, I think it's the House Speaker, of the House. That's who Morgan Freeman's character is.
And it's Morgan Freeman. What is so he's the acting these president. Movies about the president? And the White House getting taken over.
There's two of them. They're competing. It's a thing in Hollywood where competing projects happen around the same time.
It's a thing in America where they're trying to say something about obesity.
I don't know. Hollywood is as liberal as it gets, dude. It's like 80% voting for Obama in that town.
Right.
They are. They do. They love Obama.
See,
in that
town. They do love Obama.
And that's why the president.
About as much as they loved Hugo Chavez. And you know what they did.
They do like Hugo Chavez.
They killed him.
Yeah. Did they? They did. Well, the government did.
The government killed.
Yeah, okay, but
I already was dead 3 months ago.
So what are you saying then? If the Hollywood loves Obama, then the government's going to go after Obama? Obama is the government.
No, what I'm saying.
It's like these Hollywood types love me.
What I'm saying is that you can't trust anything you see on a camera.
Oh, no, never trust nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's all manipulated and changed.
I don't believe nothing I see or what I hear.
If this Olympus Has Fallen movie came out in the 80s, late 80s, it would be starring Steven Seagal. Because it's about a dude who's a disgraced Secret Service guy.
Right.
And he just happens to be in the White House, like, wrong time or whatever, and the terrorists take over. And he's the one guy who's, like, free to move around, like John McClane, Die Hard style. You know?
Oh, man, yeah.
It's Die Hard in the White House.
I saw that, by the way.
Die Hard?
Die Hard.
The first Die Hard?
No, the latest one.
Oh, Good Day to Die Hard.
In the movie theater. I paid money to see it.
Oh. You gave him $9?
My girl loves Die Hard. Yeah. Doesn't matter. She loved it.
Well, I got an article to talk about that movie in the Crespo Dome, so we'll definitely get to that. That's awesome that you saw that
thing. I'm on vacation. Hey.
He says that like 5 times.
It's the 80s. It's his go-to line. It's the 90s, man. Come
no,
on.
Man. Even Die Hard 2 and 3 were better.
I'm on vacation.
Oh, my God. What a hunk of crap. Olympus Has Fallen looks pretty silly. But hey,
it sounds like they're gonna blame it all on Morgan Freeman. I don't like because they got his face the biggest on the thing, and he ain't even president. Yeah, they're gonna blame.
And he's not president, so we'll see how that goes. What else is coming out this weekend?
From DreamWorks, The Croods.
The Croods. That's their caveman family comedy, animated comedy. Looks like the makers of Madagascar and everything.
Yeah.
That looks.
One of these days I'm gonna have kids. I gotta watch all that crap.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just hit you up.
No, just give them all the Pixar stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Simba. Something like that.
There you go. The 90s Disney.
Right.
Pixar in
2000. And I ain't going to show them nothing negative. Rodney King. I ain't going to show them none of that.
No.
I'm going to show my kids just positive things.
That's good. That's good.
I've been doing that to myself lately.
What, just positive?
Only positive. Like a couple years now. You know, like I don't watch Locked Up Abroad or any of these kind of negative shows, man.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get
with that.
You don't want to get locked up abroad.
You've become positive by stop watching certain TV shows.
Yeah, because that stuff influences.
What do you watch though? You still watch Judge Mathis?
Yeah, a lot of rednecks working.
Rednecks working. I ask Ed. Look, let me tell you. I always say, if you want to know anything about somebody, All you need to do is
look at their DVR.
Their DVR,
yeah.
And their Google searches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ooh. And if you really want to know them, their porn searches too. But I looked at Ed's DVR and I saw a couple of things. I saw Rednecks Working, and I said, "Ed, man, you watch Rednecks Working? What's the appeal of that show?" He goes, "Rednecks, man, they be working." All right. He's like, "We working, man." I said, "All right."
That's
and
awesome.
Then you scroll down and it's like Judge Mathis. And I'm like, "What? Judge Mathis?
Right next to me judging."
He be judging, man. Yeah.
Wow. That's all I can say about that. That's Judge Mathis.
That's the spectrum, man. That's the spectrum.
I guess.
You
are what you consume.
So what you're saying is Ed's an interesting guy.
He's an odd bird.
Odd bird. Cool feller.
Different.
Anything else coming out this weekend?
We've got, I really don't want to watch this one, Admission.
Oh, yeah, a Tina Fey movie.
It has a 44 out of 100 on this.
On the Metascore.
Man, yeah, my girl loves Tina Fey.
Yeah.
She don't like romance, rom-coms. This is a rom-com.
It looks like a typical rom-com where she's an admissions officer for a college. Like, that's
relatable. I would like to sit in a creative meeting with Tina Fey.
Would you?
I would like to see the ideas and how she throw, like, cause I know it's like rapid fire. It's got to be crazy.
Yeah.
Just her mind and
the way she
writes
things out there.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there when she was on Saturday Night Live, just to see how her mind works.
The writing process.
You know, same thing with the guys from South Park, but we got to see that in that documentary.
Yeah, that's 6 days
that
to air.
Awesome.
That's a really good documentary.
Yeah,
really,
that's
really good.
What I want. And I thought, oh, we need a room like this with just write crazy.
Just chalkboards and dry erase boards everywhere, and come up with ideas.
Exactly.
And throw stuff out there.
That's what it should
And then 3 days later, you hate it. You're like, oh, but we're
I just think that just from what I know about the stuff that I've seen her in, that she's just the way her mind works, that makes her hot to me.
She's a very smart, very funny person. So. Yeah, yeah. Movie kind of looks pretty bad, though. Doesn't look very good.
She's not a writer. I don't think she should be doing movies that she doesn't write anymore.
Yeah, she shouldn't just take a role. You're right.
Yeah.
That's probably what's wrong with this
movie. She might be doing, oh, I can do a rewrite. I can take a pass on it, but it might not be good enough. She could just be doing it for the paycheck, you know?
You got to make that money,
just
honey.
For paychecks. All right, well, let's take a quick break here. We're going to take a step into the Crespo Disco.
All right.
Crespo Disco. Crespo Disco.
Episode X. I like it.
Crespo Disco. Crespo Disco.
Yes, the Crespo Disco in Episode X. this song is from a movie. I've been doing this lately. They're from movies. I'm not going to say what it's from.
Don't say it.
You can listen to the song, take a guess, and then I'll let you know what it is when we come back.
I know what it is.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, I know what movie it's from.
Well, don't say.
Birth of a Nation.
Oh my goodness. Was that a silent film? I think it was silent. I think that was the world's first silent racist movie.
They didn't even have to say nothing. That's awesome.
That's how effective
it
was.
That's how you know it's racist. Right? You ain't hear no racism.
Just
a bunch of lynching.
Just a bunch of people in robes.
We didn't see nothing. I ain't seen nothing.
No, boy. No, it's not from Birth of a Nation. Thank goodness. So listen to the song. Enjoy. It's a Crespo Disco. We're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere. Right.
See what we can see, 'cause we're on it. Yeah, and it's it's all right.
Hey guys, this is Chris. I just wanted to take a moment to remind you to go to chriscrespo.com. That's right, chriscrespo.com. That's my website. Not only is Cinema Crespo Diso hosted there, but you can also check out some of my reviews. Like the review of the incredible Burt Wonderstone, which I just put up today. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It explained what I thought about the movie, because that's what reviews do, right? I also have reviews of other movies. I got my Netflix Instant Picks of the Weeks. And so much more. So chriscrespo.com, tell your friends, and also while you're at it, subscribe to Cinema Crespo Diso on iTunes, because iTunes is happening. That's where all the people are at. So if you can subscribe to the show, rate us 5 stars. If you think we're 5 stars, I'm sure you think we're 5 stars. We are a 5-star show after all. So rate us 5 stars, give us a nice review, and that'll help with the iTunes algorithm thingy. We made it to the new and noteworthy section for the TV and film podcast. So that's pretty cool. The Cinema Crespo Diso is now noteworthy. And I'd like to thank the people that already rated and reviewed us because you helped us get there. Thank you very much. And time for you to see the fall in line. Come on, guys. Also, if you want to get in on the street team, let us know. You can tweet us at Crespo Diso, facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. You can email us, CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com. Just put street team in the subject line. We'll send you a couple of free stickers if you like, and you can slap them on things and share the love of the show. So there you go. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of Cinema Crespo Diso episode 10. Welcome back to Cinema Crespo Diso. We are in the middle of episode 10 with a special guest co-host, Ed Lovables. Ed.
Hey, I was feeling that Huey Lewis, man.
The Huey Lewis, yes, the Huey Lewis. And special guest, Soul Brother Kevin.
What's cracking, man?
How's it going,
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here, man.
Glad to be here.
I'm
too.
So glad both of you guys are here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah.
This is a mighty threesome we got going on. A threesome of podcasting power.
Power.
It's on.
Ed, you got some, you have your own shows, right? Why don't we take a quick moment to plug your own endeavors real quick?
I can plug well. I'm the host of FSEDM Our Way on Party 95.
Whoa. Hold on. What was that?
FSEDM?
FSEDM?
Stands for Full Sales Electronic Dance Music Organization. organization.
Okay. Ed Music.
Ed Music.
Ed Music. It's an organization I created when I was a student at Full Sail.
This is your baby.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd buy that.
That's cool.
There you go.
All right. And what can people expect to hear on this?
A lot of dance music. Underground dance music.
And how can they hear it?
By going to party95.com. Friday night, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
There you go.
Will it make me want to dance?
It will make you want to dance and take off your pants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Juck will get your panties too.
And you're on the Twitter, right?
I'm on the Twitter. Ed Lovables at FSEDM, at AMPMSEO, at SBK Live. I'm at...
Slow down.
All those things.
You're on a lot of things.
This is a podcast. People can, like, pause it and write down and rewind it. You know, there's no reason. It's not like, oh, I missed it. I'll never hear it ever again. Mm-hmm. All right, well, you're a busy dude.
So I'm all those places, yeah.
That's awesome. Ed Lovables.
Ed Lovables.
Yeah.
And Kevin, what are you up to these days, buddy?
Chilling, man, you know, doing my thing, trying to survive.
Yeah.
In South Central.
it's hard out there.
Even the strong die.
Yeah.
In South Central.
It's hard out there for pimps and non-pimps alike.
It is, man. Basically, I'm just sitting here, you know, writing my manifesto,
word.
Spell checking it,
yeah,
making a list,
checking it twice.
You're making that's it right. twice. So you're making yeah, you're actually making two that. Lists. Is that what
yeah.
you're doing?
Okay. Yeah, my headshot. I mean, whoa,
headshot.
I kind of slipped. I hit myself.
who's
my,
on
my,
the headshot
my manifesto
list?
Is tentatively titled yeah. "Headshot." Fuck your vest. So I've kind of given away my strategy.
All right.
Right. So don't eat nothing.
Okay.
Right.
Generally speaking,
I kind of gave away my second strategy
for the second list.
But yeah, if I don't, yeah, this if I don't do a headshot, then I'm gonna poison your food.
This is for the people on the list.
Right. So I'm probably gonna do some misdirection.
Okay.
Broken Arrow. Right.
Yes.
Like you know what I'm talking like about?
It. John Woo. Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Broken Arrow.
If you saw that movie, then you know what I'm going to do, which is what you think I'm going to do.
You going to go Tracy Jordan?
Ah, see? I would go Tracy Jordan, but I didn't watch 30 Rock.
You can always start. It's on the Netflix.
I'm going to go.
I know you're all about paying for entertainment.
Yeah. Sure. I do pay for Netflix.
What are you on Twitter again for the people?
At the Soul Brother.
At the Soul Brother, yes.
Okay. At.
That's the only one, right?
Yeah, wait a second. I thought you were at the underscore Soul Brother.
S-O-U-L.
You're not at the Soul Brother 1041?
B-R-O-T-H-E-R. None of that other stuff. There's a whole bunch of other things. Check the follower count.
Well, what about at SBK Live 1041?
No, that's not me.
Really?
There's like some gremlins.
Gremlins?
This from the second movie, The New Batch.
Okay.
I mean, right. but some of these guys are really nice, and they retweet me and stuff. Some of these fakes.
Yeah. Well, hey, if they're showing love, they're showing love. But they're confusing the issue.
Well, man.
And,
it sounds like someone needs to get verified on the
internet.
Definitely show support.
I definitely thought it would be a lot easier to get verified. I don't know. I can't control them.
If he can't get verified now after all this confusion. So it's at the Soul Brother.
At the Soul Brother.
No, yeah. No confusion, people. It's at the Soul Brother.
And I tweet crazy.
He does. You ride the lightning.
Ride that lightning.
Sometimes the lightning rides me.
I've been riding the lightning all weekend.
You have to ride that lightning.
Crazy. Have you?
Hashtag Big Zeus.
Big Zeus.
a very wise man once told me, don't believe nothing you read on Twitter.
Mm-mm.
So keep that in
mind. A wise man told me, I tweet what I do.
I do as I tweet.
That's Baby Lack.
DJ Baby Lack.
Yeah.
Have you had Baby Lack on as a guest yet?
Not yet, man.
Oh.
He's got
it.
Yeah, I want him in.
Find a Sunday when the Lakers aren't playing.
That's the thing, man. He
goes to movies every Sunday morning.
Oh, does he?
You might want to go grab a movie with him.
There you go.
Every Sunday morning he goes.
There we go. A little inside
night,
info.
Saturday night he does Red Box.
Oh, yeah.
Because he goes, you know his motto with the Red Box.
It's only a dollar.
It's a dollar.
It's a dollar.
Like, he won't let you hate on the movie because he goes, it's a dollar.
It's a dollar.
Yeah, it's a dollar.
You got to think. And you got to think about any movie that you see, even if you don't like it. You were able to see something that had a multi-million dollar budget.
Yep.
For a dollar.
It took a year, maybe two,
baby.
To make.
It sucked, but it was somebody's
It involved
baby.
Hundreds of people to make it.
Right.
And he saw it for a dollar.
People fed and made their paper. People bought school clothes off this.
Right.
And got themselves the syphilis shot.
Some local economies got a huge economic boost from the making of these movies.
Somebody had a good time, a barbecue.
And you only got to see it for a dollar.
Somebody had themselves a delicious top meat poke sandwich.
Yeah, that button there. I just cut a big chunk off it.
We have been waiting nice. The entire time. Tell them, Chris.
All right. First off, Kevin comes over with a delicious smoked pork butt.
Damn near raw.
Damn near raw, but smoked. It's been smoked for a couple hours. Smoke flavors in their head. It looked nice on the outside, nice and dark. And we threw that sucker in the oven hours ago.
Right.
Slow and low.
Slow and low.
That is the tempo.
Only way to go.
Just about ready now. So we're as soon as the show's over.
Drew came in and saved the day, actually.
The Drewster Cogburn came back from assignment, and he is now making some top meat pork sandwiches.
I don't know what we were going to do before he got here.
Yeah, without him, oof, thank goodness he came back. Tough assignment.
Had a piece of the top meat pork sandwich.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's fantastic.
Man, it tasted. I went with an old traditional style, the barbecue there.
I took that one little chunky part in the front that was a little black.
Yeah.
I cut that off.
That was my name. Now, my name was on that.
Did
you? You know what I like about barbecue? You know what I like about barbecue?
What?
It is the probably oldest and probably one of the most primitive forms of cooking.
Meat over fire.
Build fire.
It's either direct or indirect with various seasonings.
Right.
There's nothing else to it. It's so simple, yet it's so complex.
There's
a million ways to do it, and everyone is right.
There's the Texas style barbecue, Memphis style, Carolina style,
Georgia style.
Georgia style.
Vinegar based, ketchup based, mustard based.
It's ridiculous.
I like it all.
And it's all delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. That's it, man. Meat over fire. Eaten off the bone.
Charred mammal flesh is what got us here.
That's why I don't get vegetarians and vegans, man. I mean, that's the primitive. That's the way it is. We got incisors for a reason. Those sharp teeth, those canine teeth, those things aren't for chomping lettuce.
Well, they shouldn't have made us tofu. Smarter than all of these animals either.
Yeah, right. And we're smarter than the animals, right? Exactly.
And the stuff that we're not smarter than, we shouldn't be eating.
We have
tigers.
Right. Well, we don't.
Smarter than no tiger.
I don't eat no tiger.
Hell no.
I ain't gonna eat no tiger.
It wouldn't be good if you got addicted to tiger meat.
That would be bad.
No, you'd be dead.
You'd be trying to get after tigers.
I don't think anybody should be able to own a tiger.
Like privately?
Privately.
I had
some
a great
stuff you don't need to be able to do, like space travel on
your
Mike
own. Tyson's tiger?
You shouldn't be able to. A regular man with no training, just because you got the money, you shouldn't be able to go buy a tiger.
Okay, I
got America now.
I got a quick secondhand tiger story. Then we're gonna jump into the rest of the show. I had a great
passionate about tigers.
I had a great uncle. Who's an awesome dude. No longer with us. You know, God rest. He was kind of growing up in New York, like say in the 70s in New York. He was like in his 30s. He's like in his 40s, and he found a way to get him
to New York,
like Brooklyn, all over New York.
Okay, Summer of Sam.
Sort of that time period, right? The Colombo family, they were a pretty big deal.
Mafia.
He found a way to ingratiate himself with this family and did a lot of work for them. He had a story about how he went with someone else to some dude's house, and like they were just there and they were chilling. It was like a kind of a boss type of guy, and they have someone come over, someone that owes this dude money, and they take him down the stairs to the basement, and they get halfway down the stairs and they stop, and there's a tiger in the basement. This is in a house in Brooklyn. This guy's got a tiger in his basement in the 70s, and he's like, "You see that tiger? That tiger hasn't had a meal in a week. And if you don't pay me my money by, you know, such and such a time, you are its next meal."
This is your uncle?
That's gangster.
Well, my uncle was there to witness this. He was on hand because he was good enough with the family to be like, you know, be in such positions. I won't say his name or anything like that because, you know.
Damn.
The FBI's probably got a file on him. Although, like I said, he's passed on, so I'm sure you
got a file on me, too.
They got a file on all of us.
Yeah. You ever thought about getting yours? I know the website where you need to file a Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
Getyourfile.com.
Get your file.
I also read that they are years behind, backlogged on releasing those files, like purposefully years behind, you know, on releasing that stuff. Like, yeah, we'll get around to it.
Gloom, gloom.
You know. Yeah, I would like to get my file.
You know. I know it's in my file.
Do you know what's in it?
Yeah, but it's all good.
Everything.
I know. I know.
What's in it? Everything. What's in it? The stuff you don't want to be in it. That's what's in it.
I'm clean, man.
Yeah, sure you are. They're listening.
Completely.
They're listening right now, man.
100%.
They're listening right now.
Well, if they're listening, then they already know.
Ed did say earlier the Crespo Disco, that was Huey Lewis. Obviously, it was Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis in the News. Very, very obvious, very distinct sound.
That was I love him.
And the song was obviously from the Pineapple Express soundtrack, because the name of the song was Pineapple Express.
Yes, it was.
So that was a pretty easy one. Sometimes it's hard for people to guess, but I think that one was pretty easy. So, all right, we're going to move on into the Crespo Dome.
Crespo Dome?
Are you guys ready for the Crespo Dome?
The Crespo Dome.
Where anything can happen.
I'm enjoying this hop lager here in the Crespo Dome.
Hop lager.
Hop lager.
Hop lager, please.
We got another hop lager.
Hop lager.
We got some harp lagers.
Hop lager.
St. Patrick's Day. Hop lager.
Hop lager.
It is St. Patrick's Day. We are drinking harp lagers.
That's right.
And Guinnesses.
Boom. Schlock, schlock, boom.
Is that? Oh, yeah. It's like House of Pain.
Right on there. Yeah.
House of Pain, man. They were the first Irish hip hop group, all Irish.
Back it up, back it in. Let me begin. You try it out. Drink me. It's the same.
Oh, that's it. I thought we could do the whole song.
Have you ever heard? Have you ever seen Snoop Dogg in concert?
Yes.
Snoop Dogg does the most slowest hype version of "Jump Around" by House of Pain you've ever seen.
I have not heard
that. Seriously, it's like the music at the same tempo. And it's like
yeah.
And he's like, it is so slow.
That's funny.
But the song is like going 100 miles an hour. That's weird. Slow as hell.
That's so weird.
I know.
That's
so weird.
I did see him once. He did not do that song. I saw him open for the Chili Peppers like 7-8 years ago.
I don't know how that guy's still alive.
He's at Ultra this year playing as Snoop Lion.
Who's Snoop Lion? Snoop Lion's at Ultra?
Yeah.
You're all about that Ultra, aren't you, Mr. FSEDM?
Yeah, all weekend.
That's what it is, right? FSEDM?
Yes.
Snoop lost me with the Lion.
Did he lose you? He'll be back.
He lost me with the Lion?
He'll be back.
He's Snoop Dogg, man.
It's Snoop.
Now you a cat?
Now he's a cat.
Now he's a giant cat.
Now you a cat.
A big cat, though. The big cat.
How can you be a dog your whole life, now you a cat?
Because the Rasta showed him the way. It's the same thing happened to the Bad Brains, man. Bad Brains are like punk rock, punk rock, punk rock. They went to Jamaica. They come back. Oh, now we're the Soul Brains.
What do we know about Snoop Dogg?
Oh, about dogs.
They travel in packs and they do it from the back. How else can you get to the booty? All the while we do it doggy style.
Yeah. All the while.
Yo, motherfucking ho! That's the intro of the first album.
So now he's a big cat. He's Iron Lion Zion, man.
I'm gonna check out.
That's
set
like Iceman coming back. Like, nah, I'm fine.
Now I'm the Human Torch.
Come on, man.
He did a 180.
180.
Yeah.
And he bumped his head on.
He did a 180, but somehow he's still going in the same direction.
You have to stop supporting crap like
this. I'm a cat.
It's like he's walking backwards.
Well, first he was a dog, now he's a cat.
Maybe he's cat dog.
That doesn't make no sense.
He's not just a cat, though. It's a lion. It's the best one out there.
A lion is a big cat.
He's a big cat.
You just can't. No. Now, if he would have came out of Snoop,
went
cat.
From a regular dog to a lion.
Now. You know why? Because in Jamaican culture, dogs are not respected.
Really?
Lion is the ultimate of respect in the culture, so that's why he did it. Lame.
Hey, well, he wants to be Rasta, man. He's got to go all out. He's going all in. I would not respect him if he didn't go all in.
Snoop Dogg trying to be a Rasta. I'm trying to think of what that's like. I do not know.
It's a unique situation.
It's so obvious. It's like a Mormon taking another wife.
Yeah. It's like, why didn't you do this years ago?
I mean, it's so thinly veiled. But anyway, I'm not here to talk about Snoop.
No, that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about movie stuff.
The cinema.
You did mention that you went and saw A Good Day to Die Hard.
I did, because my girlfriend is a massive
Bruce Willis fan.
Bruce Willie.
I love Bruce Willie.
Everyone loves Bruce Willie. At least loves the first Die Hard.
Yep.
And then they do love the one with Samuel L. Jackson, too.
That's a great one.
And then the rest of them we went to see because we just love Bruce.
Right.
You know, we don't want to.
Right. Okay, so then what did you guys think of this one in Russia?
I'm going to tell you what. I went in expecting for the type of movie that they made.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting more.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting action, and it was. Like, Bruce didn't get to talk that much. much. There was a lot of action.
A lot of action.
Non-stop action. The first scene in the movie, oh, it was crazy.
That huge car chase scene.
Crazy action.
Yeah.
I didn't want anything else.
Okay.
I didn't want a deep story. Mm-hmm. I didn't need the doctor.
Well, yeah, none of the stories are deep at all. They're all.
I didn't believe that was his son.
Yeah.
I didn't need to know why. I just wanted him to go, hey, I'm on vacation.
But he said it like 4 times.
He said it like 40 times.
I mean, he couldn't. All the other movies, he's a quippy dude. He's a funny guy.
They
and this one,
this
all you can come up with is
throwback.
I'm on vacation. And they
it's
are.
A
they,
throwback.
They
man.
Try to do throwback. I don't know.
It's a 90s. I felt like I was watching a 90s movie.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I was watching a bad 90s movie.
But that's what I went to see.
Well, you know,
I
like,
kind of got what I wanted.
Like you
that's
said.
What I went to see.
Well, like you said, you went in expecting something and you got what you expected.
I did. They did not disappoint me.
I went in expecting something too, and I got what I expected. And what I expected was a kick to the balls.
Oh, you thought
and,
it was
and a shit
bad,
sandwich shoved down my throat is what I expected in going to see that movie. And it's what it was. That movie, I almost loathed it, outwardly loathed that film for how poorly it's made.
No one has ever eaten shit sandwiches.
No. People have eaten shit pie. People have eaten shit sandwiches.
Yes, they have eaten shit sandwiches.
It's happened.
Is he believable as the character still? I don't think Bruce Willis.
It's not even the same character, man. It, like the John McClane in this movie, it's not the same McClane from the 80s and 90s. This is a new superhero McClane where he does great action feats that only superheroes do, and he's like flying around.
He's not in that great of shape, though, is he?
Well, no, they definitely don't show him in a wife beater.
I just can't believe it.
They don't show him in a wife beater like the other movie.
Best scene in the movie is when he and the other character are jumping through a window in slow motion, and they're flipping off.
Yeah,
helicopter.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty fun.
And then the helicopter is crashing in slow motion behind him.
That lets you know what you're working with, right there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? That's that's a fine shot. It's overly CG, but
it was on par with. It wasn't as cheesy as Snakes on a Plane.
No,
but it was as cheesy as the point where you were waiting for the yippee-yi-yo-ki.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're waiting for that line.
You knew it was gonna come.
Yeah.
On a cheesy level, like you wait for Samuel L. Jackson's line from Snake from the Plane.
Right.
But it wasn't that cheesy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it wasn't cheesy. It's not. It was just pointless because he's sitting by himself and he just says it to himself.
The movie could have had no dialogue.
In context, it could have had no dialogue. It really could have, and
like
it would have made
Willis
as much sense, or you know, it would not have made less sense.
He showed up
film.
The day they said shoot. He didn't have to learn.
He looked like that.
Yeah, he didn't have to know anything. It was just hey, what's going on? What's that?
I'm on vacation.
Hey, it's my son. Hey, take it easy.
Did you notice how in that opening, like Ed, for example, of how. John McClane has changed. SBK, did you notice how in that opening car chase scene, he got not in one, but two over-the-top car wrecks where his car is flipping around, crashing into other cars, and on top of that, while he's just standing on the street, he gets hit by another car that knocks him over. Like so he gets into two car wrecks and then he gets hit by a car in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then he gets up and he walks away. Did you notice that? How
he's
a superhero.
Yeah,
no cuts, no nothing. Superhero.
Yeah, well, you know, he was in Unbreakable. But look.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He confuses characters.
What I'm saying is that, you know, man, it's just like it's Bruce Willis, man.
It's Bruce Willis.
Let him do his thing.
He is doing. He can
that's
do his thing. I would rather. I'm looking more forward to Red 2 than any other more Die Hard movies.
My friend, need to lower your expectations.
Oh, dude, my expectations could not have been lower, and they still did not exceed anything at all. I was like, oh. Man, this. Oh.
Well, my girl likes this movie. I probably wouldn't have stumbled up on it unless they would have had Samuel L. Jackson in it. That's what they're doing. They're about
Samuel L. And he'll do anything, too. You pay him, he'll do it.
I mean, Bruce could call in favors, too. But he wants to keep this franchise his.
It is.
Yeah, but he needs to call in favors.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people would come out to help Bruce Willis.
Well, what they got to do is now John McTiernan. John McTiernan, the guy who directed the first one, and he directed Die Hard with a Vengeance, the one with Samuel L. Jackson. He's going to jail now for a few years for the whole... P.I. Pelicano thing from a few years ago, a private investigator snooping in on stars and stuff. Long story, but this guy's he's going to federal prison now for a little while.
That's gangster.
He'll be gone for 2 or 3 years. When he gets out, the next Die Hard movie, because he'll need something to do. So they'll give him Die Hard 6. The guy who made the first one and the third one, they'll bring him back for the sixth one, and maybe it'll be halfway decent. We'll see. The reason I bring up Die Hard, I have the story here real quick. This is from S.M. Ong. S.M. Ong is a...
You go to that site too?
Yeah, all the time. It's a Filipino It's a Filipino-centric web blog, and you'll see why this is something that they brought up. The name of this article is Censored, Not a Good Day for Die Hard Fans. I'm just going to read a couple things here real quick. This is about the new A Good Day Die Hard coming out over there. Real quick, it's about... it seems that whenever Willis uses the four-syllable bad word that describes a person who has carnal knowledge of a maternal parent, the word is replaced by an audio clip of someone saying something that sounds like Chia Pet, as in, quote, Yippee-ki-yay, Chia Pet, which, of course, makes no sense. It's like watching a poorly dubbed movie on Channel 5, except you paid for it. It's so bad that the Shaw Theater's website has this disclaimer for the movie. This is on the theater's website. Quote, please note the audio inconsistencies within the original movie presentation are intentional. 20th Century Fox Singapore has chosen to mute out the vulgar language as to observe the PG-13 rating requirements instead of editing them to keep the flow of action sequences intact. Please be informed that no refunds will be entertained.
What?
So 20th Century Singapore, this is where the blog is for, they edited the movies down without the people knowing, without the filmmakers knowing. They took out all the curse words and cut back the action just to make it a PG-13 movie so they can make more money. That's the world that they're living in, man.
That's what they do.
That's what's happening over there. So people are pissed over there in Singapore. They want to see the movie as it's intended to be seen,
yeah,
and they're getting this edited bullshit
over there too. Though.
And they do. That's where they lash you for spitting gum out on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man.
That's no fun watching a movie like that.
No, and no, it's not cool when you even something as shitty as A Good Day to Die Hard, which I did not like at all. I don't want to see something like that edited just so it can make more money.
I don't need the government telling. I mean, just don't show the damn movie.
Right, so that's why, you know, I like to bring things like that up. You know, not to be patriotic or anything, but we're lucky that we don't have to put up with stuff like that. You know, that our stuff isn't censored that way. Our movies are made PG-13 from the get-go. God damn it, they're made to make money from the beginning.
However,
they're not changing nothing ahead of time. The art is compromised from stage one.
I'm glad you said art, because the guy who made the video Two Girls One Cup went to jail.
Yes,
which is obscenity,
which is wrong. Especially since that stuff was all props. It wasn't even real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pudding.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
See?
It's not even real. And the guy went to jail for
pudding. Really? You know.
And also along those lines, there's a whole thing with the government wanting to get national inquiries going into Zero Dark Thirty, the people that made that movie, and wanted to bring the filmmakers before a Senate committee and have them answer questions. These guys, they made a movie. It's a Hollywood film, and the government wants to bring them in and question them about the movie that they made. That
it's a movie.
Yeah, that's like totalitarian regime type stuff. You know, that's horrible.
Hey, Chris, man.
So I don't know. That's why I brought up the whole.
Well, good.
That's why I brought up the whole thing.
I think you. Yeah, exactly. The movie was all right.
All right. Well, yeah, I thought it was awful. But hey, you can.
My girl liked it.
Well, that's cool.
She had a good time. I had a good time.
If you guys had a good time together, then you got your money's worth.
That's what it's all about.
I did not get my money's worth.
I spent like $50.
All right, I got a couple of questions here. Some people sometimes submit questions for the Crespo Dome.
Yes.
We get a question every week from friend of the show, Billy D.
Billy D?
His question was, what are your thoughts on Ennio Morricone's harsh words regarding Quentin Tarantino? Some backstory real quick. Ennio Morricone is this Italian composer who did, you know, the original...
And his last name is Morricone?
Morricone. Morricone. Morricone.
Oh.
Hey, yeah. Watch your watch your pronunciation there, buddy. Close.
That's quite a name.
He is an Italian composer. He did the music for like the Fistful of Dollars and The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And Tarantino loves his stuff, so he got him to put some of his music into his newer stuff. They worked together on Inglourious Basterds.
Right.
But since then, this guy has said that he doesn't want to work with Tarantino anymore because Tarantino uses music in movies without any coherence. As in, like, he just slipshod puts all his music choices in there.
He doesn't like how his music is placed in these movies.
Right, and
well, that's not up to him.
And that was another thing. He didn't like how one of his songs was used specifically. And then he was like, oh, he uses music without coherence. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, you need to know who you're giving your music to and why. I mean, but...
That's his style, yeah.
But once you give it to someone, you need to know who you're giving it to.
Well, I think that's another thing. I think they were working together on a song from Inglourious Basterds, and they couldn't get one going in time because he says Tarantino didn't give him enough time. So he went and got an old song that he did for another movie and got the rights to that and inserted that into Inglourious Basterds.
He always picks good music,
which,
though.
Which is he always does. And I think he uses music very intelligently.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people dismiss what he does. And I think he does things very, very well.
That goes hand in hand with the Tarantino experience.
That's his
You've
thing.
Never seen a Tarantino movie worth a damn that didn't have a corresponding soundtrack that made it equally, that stood on its own.
I love all soundtracks. I listen to them all the time.
Yes,
the Pulp Fiction one.
The movies again.
Yeah, the Jackie Brown soundtrack, the Django Unchained one. I listen to that all the time.
Pulp Fiction, pound for pound. I mean, you just listen from beginning to end.
Yeah, yeah, it's all good music. And then in context of the movie and the way he uses it, it's always good stuff, too.
I was
too.
Just going to say that, like Jackie Brown, when he turns on the car, the music plays. Then he turns the key over, you know, and it stops.
Yeah. Or when he's listening to Strawberry Letter 23 with Chris Tucker in the trunk and he's driving around. And oh man, what a good scene. And the music is so chill and it's like it's a love song. He's about to ice this dude cold-blooded. He's smart, man. He knows what he's doing, whether it's juxtaposition or a song that emphasizes what's happening.
Right, and it works on a subconscious level. You don't even know it happens.
You don't know why it's working, but it's working, you know. So, hey, I think Morricone, this dude is also a very old man. He's like in his 80s.
What? I gave who to huh?
Yeah, so.
Inglourious who?
Yeah, so,
Inglourious
you know.
Inglourious Django, huh?
Tarantini?
What?
Tarantini? All right, so we're moving on. I got a question through Twitter. This is from @jhigh87. He's asking, or this is his question. I've seen Jerry and Last Days. Didn't care for either of them. Should I give Gus Van Sant another try? Do you like his work? You guys, Gus Van Sant fans?
Gus Van Sant?
I don't know.
Ed, why don't you? You got IMDb? Oh, why don't you look up Gus Van Sant?
As soon as you see him, you're gonna know exactly who this.
Well, you'll know some of his movies. I think his most famous movie has to be Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Which obviously he didn't write. That was Damon and Affleck. But he did Good Will Hunting with them. I think he did My Own Private Idaho.
Is that a mugshot? Yeah, he's got a mugshot out.
Does he have a mugshot? He did this movie called Last Days. This dude's asking about Jerry and Last Days. Jerry is a movie with Matt Damon and I think Casey Affleck. They're literally just walking through the desert, and it's like a lot of shots of them just talking, and it's very meta and weird. It's a very arty movie. This guy makes some really arty movies sometimes.
Okay.
His other movie,
I might like that. I like
some of it's very interesting. Matt Damon's good. And then he did another movie called Last Days, which is an unauthorized, you know, sort of like an unauthorized biography type deal. It's about the very last days of Kurt Cobain before he killed himself.
Oh wow!
But he never calls himself Kurt. There's no Nirvana music. You know, it's him, but it's not him. You know,
interesting.
It is interesting. But that movie is weird because Kurt Cobain was a heroin addict. So there are literally shots of him like he sits down at a table, pours himself a bowl of cereal, and then he slowly passes out and like falls asleep at the table with cereal in front of him. And it's like a 3-4 minute shot in the movie uninterrupted. And it's a lot of stuff like that where it gets kind of tiring to watch, you know?
Because it's like, okay.
It's very arty. You have to be really, really in the mood and in tune with this guy's style to like some of this stuff. He did another movie called Elephant, which is kind of a Columbine. It was made after the Columbine high school thing. Mm-hmm. And it's about two kids who they plan out a whole murder spree in their school and then they do it. And it's a heavy movie, you know. It's like I watch it once, I was like, I don't need to see.
Wow.
That's what it says he's known for here in IMDb.
Go for it.
Elephant Milk, Good Will Hunting.
Milk. Sean Penn, he played Harvey Milk, the first openly gay politician. That was a really good movie, very accessible. That was one of his more mainstream films. So I think he's a good director. I don't think he's someone that's worth giving up on just because he makes a couple weird, arty movies, you know. He's someone that's always check out a Gus Van Sant film. There's no reason not to, you know.
Okay.
He's an interesting dude. He's an interesting individual. He doesn't make cookie cutter movies. He doesn't just turn out junk, right?
Do you have anything from Nathan Williams _?
I don't. Do you?
No, I don't.
Nate did not tune in this week.
He didn't tune in. Come on, Nate.
No, I don't know if I ever. I think I got one question from Nate once. You know?
Man, I saw Nate last Thursday night at a bikini contest.
Oh, because I was in this neck of the woods, right?
He was all over.
Yeah.
Nating it up.
Anything you want to tell us about this bikini contest? This is the Crespo Dome where anything can happen.
Anything goes in the Crespo Dome.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It was cold out there, and the girls just kept chattering the whole whole time. It's so cold. It's so cold.
Oh, yeah.
I felt bad for them.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're in bikinis, and it's like in the 40s at night.
It was.
Yeah, and they're right by the water.
It was. My God. It was crazy.
My head would have exploded. I would have.
Poor Ed. Poor Ed hasn't seen that many bikini-clad ladies in one place in one time in so long.
Poor Ed.
Speaking of poor Ed, Ed, you compiled a list of your favorite comedies. You would say comedy is your favorite genre of film. If you were going to sit down and watch something, it's going to be a comedy.
Yeah, it'll be a comedy, and because Burt Wonderstone was the assignment, I thought I'd put some comedies.
Hey, it was either that or The Call. I mean, would you rather have seen the Halle Berry as a 911 operator?
Uh-uh.
You know, I thought I was kind of helping you out there a little bit. I was trying my best, trying to guide you in the right direction.
But I left a spot open for Burt Wonderstone if it would have made it.
Oh, wow. Those are high hopes, dude.
It didn't make it.
Holy cow. Holy cow, those are high hopes. All right, so if you got a top 10 going on, let's see. Let me see if I can guess.
Okay.
Some of them.
Give me
a few hints, though. You got, like, how many...
Yeah.
Can you tell me how many movies you got from, like, the 70s and the 80s and the 90s? Can you split them up that way for me?
A couple from each decade.
I mean, give me some numbers.
Yeah, give us something.
Man, I didn't go with any info. I didn't write any
crazy movies, eh?
And these are best scripted comedies because, you know, if it's just like I'm going to laugh uncontrollably, then all the Jackass movies would be on there.
Oh, true.
But, you know,
I want to count those movies. Comedy,
I just can't, you know, right. Watch that, you can't control
it. Okay, scripted comedies. All right.
So,
let me see. Is, I got it. I'm kidding. Kevin, you can take some shots, too. We're going to guess.
Ed is a hard guy to figure out. I don't know what Ed likes.
I mean, this guy who likes rednecks working.
and
Judge Mathis.
And he also likes hardcore dubstep.
I love it.
Hardcore dubstep.
Can I tell you why I like Judge Mathis so much?
Please do.
One time he goes, "You sold drugs, and then you sold weed?" And went right in his courtroom. He separated the two. He always does that.
He separates the two. All right.
First, you sold drugs.
Any convicted felon.
So now we see Ed's stance on the whole.
He used to be in a gang.
Right.
Yeah. Who, Mathis?
Yeah, it's the show opener every week.
He used to be in a gang, but now he's judging gang members. Judge Mathis.
I bet you can find that guy at the strip club off the chain.
I'm sure.
I bet you can.
Just making it rain with hundreds.
With the judge, the gown on.
With the gown on.
He's like, come on, ladies.
Blinged out, diamond-plated gavel.
Let's play what's
drinking
under the...
on a hop lager.
Let's play what's
hop
under the gown.
I don't know why we've been doing that all day.
Yeah, because it's funny. It's fun to say. It's very Irish. All right, so I'm gonna guess. Caddyshack.
Caddyshack is not on there.
You look like a Caddyshack.
I like Caddyshack.
How is Caddyshack not on your top 10? All right, let's see these bikini-clad ladies. And yes. 10,
what
10,
guesses?
10, 10, 10, 10.
10, 10, 10, 10.
That one's an 11. 10, 10, 10.
Bikini-clad women. Wait, huh?
No Caddyshack.
No Caddyshack.
This is Spinal Tap, because it's about music.
Nope.
Okay, wait. Anchorman.
No.
Not a Will Ferrell fan.
Don't go to the frat.
Airplane.
No Airplane.
Oh, what? This guy doesn't even like comedies. Ace Ventura.
Nope.
The second one.
Friday?
I had Friday, but I crossed it off.
What? All right, we're getting closer.
I picked Half Baked.
I was going to go with
Half Baked. Oh, where's that on the list? Where's that?
They're not in...
they're not in any particular order? Okay, not in any particular order.
He likes Half Baked. That's selling
and,
us a lot.
And Friday almost made the list.
Almost made the list.
Would he go spoof? Would he go with the don't be a menace?
No, he wouldn't.
No, we don't go that far.
It's gonna be all comedies too.
Well, yeah, well, it's the top 10 comedies.
Just make sure y'all weren't trying to trick me.
Pineapple Express? No, because he would have said something right, when we were talking
let's
about
see,
it. No. Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
Oh, I should have. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Forgot about that one. That's number 11. That's
well, if you would have remembered, see.
Yeah, well, you're up in that smoke.
Indeed.
Maybe you're watching a little too often.
So that brings up one.
What? I mean, go ahead.
Two of them, actually.
Go ahead. We're trying to narrow you down.
Grandma's Boy.
No, Grandma's Boy.
I would have never guessed that.
I'm a fan of Grandma's Boy. I like that movie.
I'm a shit.
I'm a fan of Grandma's Boy because at one point in college I was living with my grandma for like 2 years.
I would have never guessed that.
Another stoner movie.
Days of Confused.
No.
Darn.
You'll never get it.
Office Space.
Ooh, see.
That's not really a stoner movie, though. That's a good movie, though. That should have been on your list.
That's top 20.
Okay, okay.
So. Spaceballs.
Ooh, no, see. That was another one that didn't make it, man. It was close.
You're reminding them of all these great movies.
It was close. Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo.
Oh,
Bay.
Wow.
Oh, the second one in particular.
Because of Rob Corddry, man.
Okay, interesting.
This was awesome.
Interesting. I totally forgot about the Harold and Kumar.
I haven't gotten that far, too.
You never got.
God. It's too deliberate. Why you don't like Airplane, but you like that.
So yeah. I like Airplane. I like Leslie Nielsen, the Naked Guns, all of that.
The Naked Guns, right, but none of those on the list.
What about any of the scary movies?
Scary movies? One, two, three, four.
Like White Chicks or something crazy
like
that.
White Chicks.
Like that.
White Chicks, no.
I can go for some slapstick, but not, you know.
I'm going to get you, sucker.
No, man. I mean.
Don't be a menace while drinking your gin and juice. And
nope.
I already said that one.
Yeah, I know. I just want to.
Just wanted to say it.
It'd be like, you say it one time, be like, nah, say it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're killing me, Ed.
All right, I'll do a couple more here.
Yeah.
My Cousin Vinny.
No! That's a good one.
The two Utes.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a really good movie.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Marissa Tomei won Best Supporting Actress for that.
Oh, yes, she did.
Which, I mean, it's a great movie and all, but I don't understand that.
Coming to America.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes.
That is a classic. Any more Eddie Murphy's on there? Trading Places?
Oh, he's an Eddie Murphy fan.
Trading Places, yes.
48 Hours.
48 Hours. No. Another 48 Hours.
Rocks!
No more Eddie.
No more Eddie. Right, no more Eddie. Any Steve Martin? Three Amigos. The Jerk.
Yeah, The Jerk.
The Jerk. Yeah, I got one.
You have redeemed yourself.
All right.
Redeem myself.
Okay.
All right.
Get a piece of meat.
How many we got left, buddy?
One, two, three, four.
Four. Four.
Two or older.
What do we got? Older, man, like 60s, 70s older.
Sitting around eating pork.
Eating pork. Carp lager.
Booty of a pig.
Carp lager.
Carp lager. What is this? Still St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. It's
I've already gave my boom, slock, slock.
That's it. We're out. Two more? Three more?
One, two, three, four.
Four more.
Give us a hint.
He said they're older.
You'll see one every single year.
Christmas Story.
Christmas Vacation.
Oh, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
No Ghostbusters, man.
Animal House.
No Bill Murray?
Blazing Saddles.
Bill Murray.
Young Frankenstein.
Was he in Great Outdoors?
No, that's Dan Aykroyd, John Candy.
The Shining. Bill didn't do it. Well, Great Outdoors is
Great Outdoors is a good one.
Bill and Ted.
That's an interesting one.
I don't know if he walked in on that, had a cameo. No, Bill and Ted.
I don't think he did.
Wayne's World.
No Wayne's World. I just got two more.
Austin Powers.
No.
Oh! South Park movie.
No, I love that, though.
South Park movie is really good. Are these movies recent or older?
One's recent, one's old. It's a lot, really old.
Groundhog Maids. Groundhog Day.
No Groundhog
Day. Oh, The Hangover.
No, The Hangover's no.
Damn, man! give us a hint.
Give us an actor. Give us an
somebody
actor.
Somebody flying?
Yeah, there's flying in it, yeah.
Oh,
there's flying in it?
Flying.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No.
There's plenty of flying.
Harry Potter.
No, they don't fly. They use an airplane.
That's flying, man. That's, hey, man, stop it, man.
Tootsie. No
Tootsie. What are you looking at?
I was looking at Bill Murray's.
What about?
Trying to verify whether he was in the Great Outdoors. He was not. Summer Rental. Summer Rental with John Candy.
That's a good one, but... Yeah, no.
Oh, maybe it's The Toy.
The Toy. Is that Richard Pryor? Richard Pryor the actor?
Bruce's Millions.
No, but I almost put Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Cannonball Run.
That's a good one.
Stir Crazy.
Yeah, Stir Crazy.
Nope.
No. Silver Street.
Nope.
The Blue Lagoon.
That's so far away.
From the Black Lagoon.
Which way is up?
No.
Any which way but loose.
Are these Nick Sciarra's right here. Are these pretty obvious, man?
Life.
Yeah, they're very obvious.
Eddie Murphy.
No.
Big Top's Big Adventure. Pee-wee's Big Top. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Give me my bike. Oh, no, that's Friday. Dick, what you got, my 43? Man, I'm in a mix right now. Meat swirl.
It's been a great.
Yeah, you got Nick over here just feeding you guys delicious top meat pork.
Call him Pig Booty Nick.
Top meat. So
Pig Booty Nick is giving you guys a top meat pork.
Top meat neck. You want me to be top meat or pig booty?
Definitely go top meat or
pig
booty.
It's called lose-lose.
So in the sake of time, should I give one?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
A hint. A strong hint.
Strong hint.
Give us a line from the movie.
Practically give it away.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Ridgemont.
What? Ridgemont?
Fast Time at Ridgemont High.
Fast Time at Ridgemont High. Oh, like, that's good.
Oh, damn.
Porky's.
Porky's. Now we're getting
put
eight.
Put your dick through the hole.
Oh, here's the line. I'm a dude disguised as a dude playing another dude.
Oh, Tropic Thunder. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I gotta say, that movie's so funny. I've never hated on a movie so much that I was wrong about.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Because he thought the blackface thing was going to be offensive.
And that was the
but that was a joke.
That's all I want to see.
Yeah, he couldn't break character.
That's how... Oh, it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm like mad at myself for hating on that movie.
For sleeping on it a little
it's
bit there.
So funny.
Robert Downey Jr. kind of knows what he's doing.
Man.
He kind of knows.
That guy's good.
He's not, he's not a racist. Well, he might be a racist, but he's not probably, he's not presenting himself as a racist.
He can be a racist as long as he just don't do that in the movie.
Right. Don't make racist movies.
Yeah, don't make racist movies. Be racist on your private time, on your own Twitter feed.
Where we don't see it. And you said the other one's an older one?
Yeah, older.
Give us an actor. Can you even name an actor from it?
John Cleese.
Oh, Monty Python, Holy Grail.
There you go.
Man, I was going to say Old Yeller.
Old Yeller.
He plays the dog.
The comedy
version. Plays the dog, yeah. Yeah, and they shoot him in the face. It's sad. But also great. Well, those are some. Those are all some really solid comedies, dude. Although,
okay, I got one more for you. What's
that?
King Kong.
No.
That was funny to me.
What, the original?
Yeah.
Or the Jack Black one?
Or the Jeff Bridges one? They're all the same.
Jessica Lange.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this one up, guys. But we're going to do a... I got a new segment going with when we have guests. This is what we're doing whenever I have a guest on the show.
All right.
And since you are both... You're a guest co-host and you are our special guest, Kevin. You're both going to go through the lightning round.
All right.
Man. Just saw Burt Wonderland's
lightning round.
The lightning round.
This is the lightning round in which I'm going to ask you 10 questions. I have 10 different questions for each of you.
Right.
And we're going to go through them fast. Just the first answer comes to your
head. Hold on. Real quick. Real quick. This segment, the lightning round, is brought to you by Hot Lager.
Hot Lager. Hot Lager. Hot Lager.
Hot Lager. Brought to you fresh by...
Hot Lager.
By pork, pig booty Nick.
Big booty Nick.
Big booty.
All right, so Ed, you're going to go first?
Yeah, okay.
Ed, you're going to go first, all right? We got 10 questions for you, buddy.
Ooh, all right.
And just the first thing that comes to your head.
There you go.
All right, and then Kevin, you're going
to
be next. So.
First thing that comes to...
Well, I'm going to give him his 10, and then we'll listen to his answers. We can we'll psychoanalyze him real quick.
I really like to prepare, so this is a good...
Top me!
No, this
Top
is...
Top me!
I'm lagging.
This is all about not being prepared.
Oh,
the opposite of
God.
Prepared. All right, you ready?
Sure.
All right, number one, here we go. What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Number two, hashtag EDM used in TV commercials, good or bad?
There's too many variables.
All right, hey, too many variables. Your number three, your favorite actor?
Oh, we're timed. Johnny Depp.
Right.
I look just like him.
Number four, analog versus digital in 10 words or less.
Well, analog sounds a lot better. Digital is trying to...
I think you ran out. Number five, Tom and Jerry or Itchy and Scratchy?
Tom and Jerry.
Number six, why is the sky blue?
Why is the water red?
Number seven, who is Kaiser Soze?
I don't know. Kevin Spacey.
Number eight, where's the beef?
In grandma's teeth.
Number nine, can you play any instruments?
DJ, so a lot of people say no, but I say yes.
All right. And number 10, what is best in life?
Man, Sundays, you know, you're chiefing with your butt. You got a butt smoking, eating.
Right.
Am I still being timed?
Oh, whenever you're done, you're done.
All right, time.
All right, good job. Good job, Ed.
All right.
No
good
time.
Job. You did good time there. No, you did good time there. All right. I think some very revealing answers for people.
Yeah.
Ed, very, very revealing, Ed. So what do you think of his answers, Kevin? Anything?
Man, I thought they were cool. Where's the beef in grandma's teeth?
Never heard
that one.
Well, that's an old joke, man.
Man, I don't know if I can win.
I don't know. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right.
Pretty
good. I'm lager.
All right.
Lager would be proud.
All right, Kevin. Well, you are next, sir.
All right.
I've been holding my urine as long as Jim Carrey in that movie. I'm like about to break open. Disgusting. Well, that's pretty bad.
Well, you know.
All right, I'm ready for my spot.
It's all the drinking, you know.
Hot blogging.
It is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
This day is all about seeing how long one can hold in divine urine. All right, Kevin, are you ready to go?
I am ready to go.
I got your ten questions.
Swing.
And they are different questions. So all here right. we go.
Oh, God.
Number one, what is your favorite fairy tale?
Fairy tale would be the one with the three billy goats, Druff.
All right, number two.
Druff.
3D, the future or a fad?
A fad.
Number three, how will the world end?
With an asteroid.
All right.
Or a comet.
Okay, pretty much. Same thing,
yeah.
Number four, who is Tyler Durden?
Who is Tyler Durden? The dude that make the cool soap.
Number five, finish this sentence.
I'm ready.
All I want to do
is have some fun until the sun dries up on the Santa Monica Boulevard. There, that's the bitch that got Lance Armstrong killed.
Yeah, or cancer.
Career killed.
Got his career killed.
Right.
Yeah, it's all her fault. Yeah.
What's her name?
Cheryl.
She ain't that hot.
But I
like that song, though.
All right, number six, Daily Show with Jon Stewart or The Colbert Report.
Daily Show.
Number seven, best concert you've ever been to.
I went to see George Clinton and P-Funk All-Stars at the Musical Moon in Tallahassee, Florida.
Ooh.
In 95. And it sounded just like the CD, and they played for 4 hours. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Number eight, what is thunder?
What is thunder? God farting.
All right, number nine, what is the last book you've read?
The last book I've read, I'm glad you asked me that, because I'd like to break it down for you.
Okay.
You're being timed.
I read The New Jim Crow.
Oh.
Which likens... The new Jim Crow is the for-profit prison system.
Okay.
That it's a for-profit, and they guarantee a 95% occupancy rate.
Wow.
How does that work?
Interesting.
I know. They have to have bodies there to make the money.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an incentive to get bodies there. That's the new Jim Crow.
The new Jim Crow.
It's the prison system.
Obviously, a book you're recommending.
I am recommending if your ass don't want to go to jail.
Definitely don't. And
who does?
And number 10, where would you like to retire?
Oh, man, I would love to retire. I always say in a small beach town in California.
Okay.
A beach town, yeah. Small. Right.
I can dig that.
Yes, I could too. Walk to the beach, chill.
Yeah. All right, time. Good job. Good job. All right. Hey, I think we learned a lot there. I think we learned a lot from both of you guys.
Get on some steroids.
Good job. I think you both did well. You both definitely passed the lightning round in the Crespo Dome.
Right. With a couple of AR-15s.
Yeah, good job. Sometimes you need AR-15s to get through the Crespo Dome. It's a crazy place. Well, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Anything you guys want to plug on our way out? Ed?
Yeah, plug AMPM SEO. Let me build you a WordPress. I'll do it for you.
Hey, if you go to chriscrespo.com, you'll see a website built by Ed Lovable, AMPM SEO. So if you like what you see, hit up Ed. He's good. I can vouch for him. He's good, and he'll do. You tell him to do something, and he'll do it.
I'll do it.
We'll try his best.
Yeah,
he definitely will. Kevin, anything you want to plug?
I don't want to plug anything, but I'd like to end with a quote from one of my favorite movies, The Game.
Yes. Fantastic.
It's a scene in which, who are the main characters in that movie?
Well, there's Michael Douglas.
There's a scene in which
character,
Michael Douglas is the
game in it.
Right. And his, no, he's not.
Torture play.
Okay. And his brother's being played by Sean Penn.
Yes.
And there's a scene in which they're in a car on the street.
Yeah.
And he says, he's talking about the company in which he bought an elaborate birthday gift for his brother.
Right.
If you didn't see it, and he goes, it's CSR, right? Or is it CRX?
CRX.
CRX.
I think so.
And then he says, oh, yes, CRX. He goes, they fuck you, and then they fuck you, and then they fuck you again. And just when you think the fucking stop, oh, yeah, that's when the fucking reeling begins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah.
I say, I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Because it's applicable sometimes.
I can understand that you thought the fucking stop.
It didn't stop.
The real fucking is just starting.
Yeah.
Man.
Wow.
That's my life.
All right, well, that interesting words to end by.
I will. Every time I'm on the show, I will end with a random movie.
A different quote. Okay.
Yeah, it won't always be vulgar for
one that's applicable.
Listen, but I didn't make these words. And words don't really have power unless you give them to
you. You just quote in a movie.
Thank you.
A fantastic movie.
But I chose it.
A fantastic
movie. I could also chose something from, like, you know, Bambi.
Yeah, you could have. But that's not.
They killed his mama, too.
Doesn't apply. Yeah, that's sad.
Right in the beginning.
The horrible Disney tradition of ripping away mothers from young children. They do that in all their films.
Well, like mamas.
We can talk about that in a future episode. Guys, get us at Twitter at CrespoDiso, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso, CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com.
Hashtag Top Meat Sandwich.
Hashtag Top Meat Sandwich. So that's episode 10. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Ed, thank you for co-hosting.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin, thank you for coming on, and I appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
He's busy.
Sign language.
He's a little busy. He's doing sign language. We'll be back next week for episode 11. This train's going to keep on rolling, derailments or not. We'll get it back on the rails and keep on going. So thanks for listening. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your enemies, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thangas.